Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. Today, I'm speaking with Martin Gottlieb. He's on the editorial staff at the Dayton Daily News. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So this week, the Senate passed its version of the state budget, and a notable difference is that there were changes to the Jobs Ohio plan. Can you explain first what happened there?
Well, that was kind of striking because the Jobs Ohio was enacted earlier in the year, very shortly after the legislature first convened at the governor's urging, and there was really nothing to be done on it in the budget bill. But the Kasich administration is having second thoughts about the structure of it under certain pressure, under certain criticisms, and it's itself submitted about 10 amendments to the bill. The primary one being that under the new arrangement, the governor would no longer be the chairman of the committee, would not even sit on the committee that runs Jobs Ohio, this private-public partnership that would be awarding money to promising businesses. Some critics had said that that would be blatantly unconstitutional, and they seem to have backed off on that.
So this was one of the main ideas that the Kasich administration's put forth. So what impact does that kind of change have?
Well, it's unclear to me exactly how much impact it will have. I get, you know, the money is still there. This is not a decision to put less money into the project. I guess that it diminishes Kasich's power to direct where the money goes. But still, he will be appointing the members of this committee that runs Jobs Ohio. So whether much changes concretely remains to be seen.
Another one of Kasich's main thrusts has been Senate Bill 5, and you wrote an article on the phenomenon that the public doesn't support that effort. What are you finding?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think that a lot of people have been very surprised by the polls since before all this happened, there was a widespread feeling that support for unions was waning. Certainly union membership was waning, and people were blaming them for a lot of things, not only in the realm of public spending and taxes, but in the realm of the collapse of the auto industry. What they're finding now is very lopsided public opinion on certain questions. For example, one poll showed that by 54% to 38%, people favored repealing SB 5, which is the big collective bargaining bill that restrains unions in a lot of ways. Meanwhile, the governor, being very associated with SB 5 and that whole effort, is seeing his poll numbers go down very dramatically too. One poll showed that if the race for governor was rerun today, Kasich would lose by about 25 points. And, you know, everybody will always say, well, they're only polls and we don't pay much attention to them. But they pay attention to them. They are not pleased, and they are taking note. It's just clear that they've got an uphill battle.
What do you think the campaign landscape is going to look like surrounding Senate Bill 5 if it is indeed an uphill battle?
Well, there's no question but that there will be not only intense interest and in a lot of money being spent internally in the state, but there will be money coming in from outside the state. The national unions are very focused on this. Both political parties are focused on it. The Chamber of Commerce and other business groups are focused on it. The Democrats see an attempt to weaken public employee unions as an attempt to weaken their political base. If you decrease the number of people who are in public employee unions, you shrink the donor base. And so the stakes are very, very high here. It goes way beyond Ohio.
I'd like to touch a moment on legislation at the State House that will change Ohio's election laws. Both versions in the House and the Senate, for example, shorten the early voting period, the need for an entire social security number, if that's how voters prove their identity, and stopping the unsolicited absentee ballot applications. Supporters of the changes say it will streamline the voting process and help avoid fraud, but you have a different take on that.
Well, it's interesting. The House version of the bill shortened early voting to just 1 week. And I think that just this really surprised a lot of people, because last time there was very widespread enthusiasm for how early voting was working. The people at the elections board certainly liked it, and the public took to it very eagerly. But there was a widespread view that the period was probably too long. It was 35 days before the election, and that raised a couple of problems, including the fact that voting overlapped with the registration period. So there were a lot of people saying it needs to be shortened to 2 weeks or 3 weeks. When the House shortened it to 1 week, they really surprised a lot of people. And the elections boards, which are, you know, bipartisan in every county in the state, have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans in every county, were not pushing for that for the most part. They find that early voting saves them more work than it costs them, especially in the urban counties. And so the House and Secretary of State Husted was promoting 2 weeks or a little longer, and that's basically what the Senate finally decided on. And I think at that stage, it's a little less controversial, although Still, the Democrats voted against it, but it was a big package involving a lot of other issues, too.
Martin, I understand you're retiring from the Dayton Daily News this month.
I am, next Friday.
Well, good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And thank you for being here today. We appreciate that.
And thanks for having me all these times.